They were high school sweethearts that got married and had two kids. It's the Brunettes. From a new location, they tweet all day, but that's okay. They're the Brunettes. She is a journalist. He is a wonk.
Wonk, wonk, wonk.
They talk about the news or whatever they want. In the fight for justice, they're on your side. You can't deny it's the Brunettes.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to our low effort, low quality podcast. This is Liz Brunig. This is my husband, Matt.
Hello, Rod.
Happy post-Thanksgiving. Happy Black Friday. We just enjoyed Thanksgiving here ourselves.
Statement from President Joe Biden, December 1, 2024. Today, I signed a pardon for my son, Hunter. From the day I took office, I said I would not interfere with the Justice Department's decision-making, and I kept my word, even as I have watched my son being selectively and unfairly prosecuted. Without aggravating factors, like use in a crime, multiple purchases, or buying a weapon as a straw purchaser, people are almost never brought to trial on felony charges solely for how they filled out a gun form. Those who were late paying their taxes because of serious addictions, but paid them back subsequently with interest and penalties, are typically given non-criminal resolutions. It is clear that Hunter was treated differently.
Yeah.
No reasonable person who looks at the facts of the Hunter's cases, can reach any other conclusion than Hunter was singled out only because he is my son, and that is wrong. There has been an effort to break Hunter, who has been 5.5 years sober, even in the face of unrelenting attacks and selective prosecution. In trying to break Hunter, they've tried to break me, and there's no reason to believe it will stop here. Enough is enough. For my entire career, I followed a simple principle. Just tell the American people the truth. They'll be fair-minded. Here's the truth. I believe in the justice system, but as I have wrestled with this, I also believe raw politics has infected this process, and it led to a miscarriage of justice. And once I made this decision this weekend, there was no sense in delaying it further. I hope Americans will understand why a father and a president would come to this decision.
Yeah, Nate Silver is really pissed about this. Have you seen that?
I actually literally just saw this when I sat down. I opened up Twitter as part of like, oh, we got to throw together some bullshit, you know, some nonsense content for the fucking piggies. And I saw that was what? And the way I saw it was Mark Ames retweeting John Harwood. You know John Harwood?
Oh, yeah.
He's kind of like a, you know, stalwart of media,
mm-hmm.
You know, Wall Street Journal, NBC, all that.
Mm-hmm.
June 13 tweeted, people who insist Biden will pardon Hunter after specifically ruling it out are telling on themselves. They can't imagine someone acting on principle and keeping his word.
Oops. Oh, that's entertaining.
RT that one.
Okay.
They're called reposts now.
They're called reposts, yeah.
I don't know that.
No, I've been out of the game too long. You know, my first instinct was to find this funny. I guess that's still where I'm at. I don't know if this is toxic or if it's a symptom of irony poisoning. But I guess along with finding it funny, I think, you know, there's no real justice in this country. Like, rich people have their own system for adjudicating faults. And I kind of like that if you're going to violate the veneer of impartial justice, you're at least doing it in the service of a good thing, like, you know, family.
Nepotism.
You know, it's not nepotism because he's not elevating him. It's just
he's elevating him out of prison, family.
Okay, all right, true.
I like that the way they still write these is after giving a simple, like, you know, 5 paragraphs explaining it, they still do this like weird, like old timey English shit.
Mm-hmm.
So the actual thing that I guess is the pardon reads, to all in whom these presents shall come, greeting. Be it known that this day I, Joseph R. Biden Jr., President of the United States, pursuant to my powers under Article 2, Section 2, Clause 1 of the Constitution, have granted unto Robert Hunter Biden, in all caps.
Okay.
I guess yeah. We have to all caps. This is like a sovereign citizen wrote this.
Yeah.
A full and unconditional pardon, which is its own paragraph, new paragraph, for those offenses against the United States which he has committed or may have committed or taken part of. During the period from January 1, 2014 through December 1, 2024. So whatever happened in those 10 years. Mm-hmm. In testimony whereof, I have hereunto signed my name and caused the pardon to be recorded with the Department of Justice. Done at the City of Washington this first day of December in the year of our Lord, 2024.
Okay.
And of the independence of the United States, the 249th.
Okay. All right.
Why?
It seems silly.
It's so much. Why is that necessary?
Yeah. You
did they just like, either, like when was the last pardon? Let's see when they just kind of copy and pasted that.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just been copy pasting since like 1810 or whatever.
It is strange that it takes that form. I would have think, you know, if maybe one day if you pardon someone, it'll just be completely straightforward.
No, it will.
I'm Matt Brunig, have pardoned XYZ.
This is how I do my legal writing, is I refuse to abide by any of the formal, you know, if it's not required, you know, like sometimes depending on the rules, you have to write things certain ways. But if you don't have to, I just write totally in the vernacular.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that what the Catholics would like?
The vulgar languages. Yeah, the
fully
vernacular.
Just vulgar, just normal. Like I just posting shit to my website. That's how I write my stuff.
Yeah, it's how you communicate generally, I think, is in the most efficient way you can come up with.
I gather that the other strictures are there to help encourage people to write in a lucid way, you know, because it, you know, like any kind of formula can kind of force you.
Yeah, sure.
If you're prone to writing in these wandering, but I don't write like that.
Nope.
My shit's clear. So I don't need to be doing that. And I just don't.
Yeah.
It's never held me back, none.
It appears to have not actually.
I don't held you back. Lose cases over that stuff.
Yeah, no, as you shouldn't.
You I shouldn't. Think, the law should be for everyone, folks.
Shouldn't you just be able to represent yourself?
You ought to, yeah.
Yeah.
I frequently represent myself as the charging party.
What if I got arrested for something? Would you defend me?
I mean, I would hire someone to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, I don't know what I'm doing. Criminal shit.
Yeah.
Audio grab bag?
What if I committed a labor law violation?
I might rep the other person.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
What a mess. I'll have to decline to do that in that case.
Yeah, well, you can just saddle up and, you know, do what you need to do to fix it.
Yeah, I'll post the notice and let him put the button back on.
Yeah, you can. There was a case this week where the question was whether you could ban them from wearing multiple buttons.
Okay. Like they're allowed to have one button.
Yeah,
but
they're like, can I have a one button rule? And then, but it can be a union button, but only one is allowed.
They're yeah. Like,
no, you can't just, what if they want to wear two union buttons? What if they want their whole shirt to be union buttons, like a chain of armor?
Just
chainmail of union buttons,
like covered in medals, like Goebbels. Just
says vote yes.
Yeah,
and it's like there's a hood on the chainmail.
Yeah,
just clinking around as you poured the coffee or whatever.
Yeah.
All right, you got a long audio grab bag today. We'll get to your content later.
Oh, I'm not even sure that I have any content.
You got content. We haven't really mined Zizek, which I feel like that's a pretty good source of audio content.
Yeah.
You know, everyone loves the eccentric Slovenian Lacanian.
Mm-hmm. That's what they say.
They love him. And he kind of seems like he's made a whole career out of just being kind of like a funny, eccentric talker. He should run for president.
Absolutely. Zizek would fucking kill.
He's an immigrant, unfortunately, but if he were a native, oh my God.
He could be his own press secretary.
He's very Trumpy.
He is,
in a way where you just kind of like, he's got this weird charisma to him. But
yeah,
he had this to say.
I really more and more hate talking. Especially I hate giving classes because I hate students. I hate contact with students. Grading papers is not a problem. I openly told students, everybody gets an A, the highest mark, but I will not even look at what you give me and so on. And because they perceived me as a Balkan eccentric, they tolerated it. Students are even, I like this, formally prohibited to address me if they see me on the corridor. The professor, my friend, told them, Professor Zizek is ill and tired. You shouldn't disturb him and so on. I hate so much students. I like...
Because they're annoying and trying to outsmart you, or why do
but
they
not
do smi- it?
No. It's so disgusting what I will say now. First, 99, as with all people, with intellectuals even more. I don't despise ordinary people. I hate all people. I'm becoming more and more misanthropic. This was really from when I was young. I like to be alone. You know, it's for me the closest I get to paradise.
Do you work out?
No, it's purely for
show off.
Moral, ethical reasons. Absolutely never. It's just there. It makes me feel good to be there, you know. No, it's a very small world. I don't need anything more. There is nothing better than, I think that we should totally rewrite Marx. The greatest thing is to be dehumanized and alienated, I think. For me, the name of the hell would be this type of a, you know, solidary small community where you come home and everybody is telling you their troubles or whatever. I hate that. I like alienation. I like alienation.
He likes alienation.
It's a good bit.
Episode one of the Marx. I did four episodes of Marx and the Socialism series. Episode one at the end, we deal with alienation. So check that out if you're trying to figure out what the hell he's talking about.
Yeah,
reread Marx. But
yeah, the best thing is to be dehumanized. I sympathize with alienation, yeah. Though.
Yeah, you like to be alone.
I need a lot of quiet alone time.
You and Christopher Maloney. Is that his name?
Detective Stabler?
Detective Stabler.
Yeah.
I only know his real name.
He spends a lot of time alone?
Well, that's who you're, because you just watch SVU all day.
Oh, yeah. No, in my alone time, I always have SVU going. I may not be paying direct attention to it, but when I'm writing or whatever, SVU has to be on.
Right.
Yeah, that's my form of alienation.
Anyways.
Even when I don't, though, it's just nice to be alone. It's nice to be by yourself, you know? In many ways, it's more comfortable. You don't have to do the work of talking to anybody. You know.
I feel you.
I get up at 5:30 every morning. I hope that alarm doesn't drive you crazy.
I'm kind of confused by it.
You want me to explain the principle there?
Yeah, I've never actually asked you. Because you get up at 5:30, and then by the time I wake up at 7, you're back in bed.
Correct.
And then you sleep, I won't say until when, for, you know. For respect purposes.
Thank you. I I take my medication I take for a combination of my epilepsy and my...
And it has to be that precisely timed.
I'm just telling you my philosophy.
Okay.
It makes you very tired. There's a nighttime dose and a morning dose. And used to, I would just take the nighttime dose, go to bed, wake up at like 9 or 10... take my morning dose then and would inevitably have to go back to bed by about 11 or 12. And then I would sleep until like 2 or 3. And that's just unsustainable. That's shitty and I hate it. So I realized I need to take my morning medication at a time where I will be able to sleep some more after because it makes you so tired. And so I could move it back, but 5:30 is a good distance away from 10 p.m., which is when my nighttime dose happens. I'm sure this is very interesting to everyone, but the point is, I wake up at 5:30 a.m. every morning, and it's like the best part of my day. Everyone's asleep. It's dark. It's quiet. It's nice. I would never give it up. You know, so I see Zizek there.
Now I'm going through the pod ideas doc, and we got this one from last month.
Yep.
That we didn't get to.
Yeah. Sorry.
It's not your fault. You're the one who put it in there.
Okay.
TheNation.com.
Yep.
From Joan Walsh.
Mm-hmm.
A known self-identified black woman, I believe.
Black Irish.
She's black
she
Irish.
Says. I don't know exactly what that's supposed to mean.
It's a kind of Irish person who's black, I think.
Serious? Black Irish. Irish people of African descent. Okay. Irish American myth.
It's a myth, yeah.
A myth that Irish people with dark features were descended from Spanish sailors who were shipwrecked during the Spanish Armada of 1588. This meaning of it is not frequently used in Ireland. Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, I sent you that. Did I send you the video of the Irish people in Ireland thing?
Where they were making fun of Irish Americans?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty damn funny.
Did I send it to you?
Yeah.
Okay, let me see if I can find it. That'd be a good audio grab bag as well.
Yeah, this was the first time I had seen Joan Walsh in the wild since the time you told her that she was old.
Yeah, I've forgotten about her.
Unfortunately.
If you'd told me she'd retired, I would have believed you.
Yeah, she's still out there. And once again, her preferred candidate was failed by The Nation.
Man, I've got all these trying to go through the shit I send you.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of cats waiting in line for the heater.
Yeah, that's really cute. Love the cat videos.
Yeah, so at thenation.com, we get Kamala Harris deserved better, and there's no easy explanation for why she didn't get it.
Yeah, no one can know.
Consider how resoundingly she succeeded in her 107-day campaign and what that means about how deep the problems are that we need to solve. I mean, for starters, first off, the lead here is she deserved better, period. Next paragraph.
Yeah.
Epic. Oh my, I'm so fucking bought in and epic now.
It's so cool, that lead.
What God, a kicker. Dude, when she hit... When she hit the fucking return button on her typewriter, she was like, this is fucking gold, man. Normally, you don't have, you know, a one sentence paragraph to lead it off.
Yeah.
Mine's three words. She deserved better.
Yeah. Wow.
Fuck yes. Fuck yes.
It's an iconic line. People will be repeating it for many years.
It'll be on shirts. Yeah. It'll be like...
Tote bags.
You'll have the I dissent, RBG, yeah. And then you'll have She Deserved Better, Joan Walsh.
Oh, wow. You're really forgetting Nevertheless, She Persisted.
Oh, yes. Nevertheless, She
Noted
Persisted.
Snake, Elizabeth Warren.
That was a solid one.
That was a solid one.
Anyways, I mean, of course, just the premise of writing, it's so... you know what it is? It's very royalist. It's very monarchical. I think that is deep down what's so disgusting about it, is you've inverted how this is supposed to go, right? We're not supposed to sort of think of the leaders as being these people that we owe things to, that deserve things. They're meant to be subordinate to us, and they're kind of in there working for us. You know what I mean? Like, we don't... The point of winning, of electing people to president is not to reward them for something. It's to get them to do our bidding. You know, I mean, that's the sort of mythos of democracy, right? That's how we think about it. That's how we distinguish ourselves from, you know, crying in a parade because Queen Elizabeth's been on the throne for 50 years and looking like a fucking idiot, you know? Looking like someone wailing at Kim Jong-un's funeral or whatever. Okay. It's the same thing, by the way. Same thing. Same, just different countries, same thing.
It is the same thing.
One we ostracize due to Orientalism, and the other
and anti-communism.
They're not communists. The other we celebrate because, I don't know, white? I don't know. I don't know what the deal is.
You don't think North Korea is just a little communist?
No.
Not at all? Can you enlighten
me? You don't understand the intricacies of Juche, and I don't have time to break it all down for you right now. But anyways, we're not supposed to be doing that with our leaders, you know? And we did cut some of them onto a mountain. That was a little fucking weird. But that's, to me, that's repulsive. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I just thought they were communist.
Kamala Harris lost by such a large margin. It doesn't make sense to me right now to look for reasons. It just doesn't. Her loss was so big that why would I look for a reason?
Yeah.
What?
That follows.
It doesn't follow. You know, it's like, what are we even going at here? Wouldn't it be the reverse? Wouldn't you be like, it was so close. You know, fucking, if the weather were a little bit different, the turnout would have been a little bit different. You know, you roll that dice, you run 50 of these, she probably wins half the time.
Yeah.
Like, if it's a big loss, then maybe you should be like, oh, something big was going on.
Yeah.
You know? Anyways, I don't actually think it was a big loss, at least not in the popular vote. What do we got right now on the election results?
They're still counting votes in California, one hears.
Yeah. Well, we got over 99% counted. Harris, 48.33. Trump, 49.94. 1.6 percentage point edge on the pop vote. That's not a huge deal. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think the map shocks people.
Yeah.
But the pop vote, you know, 1.6 points. That's what they're calling it in the street. The pop vote. I'm just trying to save a couple syllables there.
Yeah.
It gives people more content that way.
Yeah, that's what they want.
There, I dropped my phone. I won't read the whole article, but...
I just thought it was so reminiscent of what happened with Clinton, where for some reason people thought this was a great... That they wrote all these elegiac pieces after Clinton lost, right?
Yeah, that's what this is.
And it's just like that, right?
But she's the only one still doing it.
Yeah, she's the only one still doing it, and most people didn't... I guess some people in the Democratic Party just like really wholeheartedly and truly and spiritually fell in love with Kamala when she became the nominee.
When she was just thrust on you.
Yeah.
There's something sick about that. There's something sick because she was not chosen.
No.
She became VP because... Biden was like, look, I need to balance out the whole white man thing, which is, by the way, the same reason Biden became VP.
Yeah.
Which is, Obama's like, I need to balance out the young black guy thing. There's this weird racial balancing. I don't even know if that matters, like who votes on that, but that's like a thing people have in their mind. And so, and then she fucking randomed into this nomination because his brain like fully collapsed. And... to think, like, what a kind of bizarre sycophant you'd have to be to the Democratic Party to allow you to then be like, I love this so much.
Yeah.
It's like, what? How do you get there? I just could never get there with, I mean, I don't know. I'd have, the party would have to be so much different.
Yeah.
Like, I really think we'd need to have a multi-party system.
Yeah.
Where, you know, we had 5-6 parties and I could like hang out over with like the far left party, you know, and then like feel really attached to it.
Yeah.
But I don't know how you get that level of attachment. Now, she did say in her piece, we will find explanations over time, but they will probably not be the reasons that are our priors, except for my priors.
Okay.
You follow this?
Yeah.
We will find explanations over time, but they will probably not be the reasons that are our priors.
Hmm.
She's referencing, you know, sort of Bayesian, like, what are your prior?
Yeah,
like,
I mean, I know the use of the word, but this seems like a strange deployment of it.
Except for my priors.
Okay.
So over time, we'll find the explanations won't be other people's priors, but they will be your priors?
Yeah.
What's going on? Who edited this?
This just breaks down a little bit.
I think she wrote the three-letter, she deserved better, and then was just like, And now I gotta come up with 800 more words.
You would be shocked at how much pitching goes down that way.
Anyways, her priors are, she is a black woman.
Are these your priors, Joan, or is these just some facts?
And no, I don't think it's a coincidence that Trump's two victories have come against female candidates.
Well, I mean, yeah, because the Democrats keep running them, so.
What are we to understand the prior to be here? Is it that, is she saying that women, her prior is that women candidates are going to be discriminated against by voters and thus, you know, can't win elections, like presidential elections? If that's the case, why are you nominating them?
That's my question.
If that's your prior, that's not my prior.
Yeah.
But if you're saying you fully believe that, then what's the deal? And it brings me back to the Clinton. Those were, I think, the high watermark of me being an internet shithead, you know?
Those were glory days for sure.
That was the last moment where I got to just be full on display. Counter to what people would say about me, not because I was being abusive. You know what I mean?
No.
Not because I was posting, you know, abusive shit at people, but just because I like to play around with trolley arguments, push people's buttons. And what happens when people get triggered like that, if they don't have like an actual way to they don't feel comfortable being like, that arg pissed me off.
Yeah.
They just make shit up about you.
Yeah. No one's going to accept just having been bested. Like, I saw something and I just fucking couldn't handle it.
I just couldn't deal with it.
It did me wrong.
This was one of the args that I kept pushing, was they would come to you and they would be like, woman is discriminated in politics.
Mm-hmm.
And people are being sexist against Hillary.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bernie bros, all this kind of stuff, mm-hmm. right? And that fits very well with this certain sort of like feminist critique of U.S. society as being anti-woman and all that.
Yeah.
Right? And you're like, okay, cool. So you can have that move, but you can't then also say we should nominate her. You can't tell me the electorate is sexist and she's going to be giving up 2 to 3 to 4 points right off the bat because of sexism and we should nominate her. Right?
Yeah.
Or unless you're saying you're okay losing. Is that the thing? It's okay if we lose. A little symbolic victory.
Yeah.
Is that your view? No, that's not my view. Oh, so which is it? Are women, you know, like they would hit you both ways.
Yeah.
They would want to maintain that women are discriminated against by the electorate. But if you then turned that out and been like, well, then that means she's not as electable, they'd be like, you saying that is sexist.
Correct.
That's then what they did to Bernie.
Yeah.
He never, as far as we know, ever even said that.
No, that was a lie. I didn't say it.
But Elizabeth Warren accused him of saying that.
Mm-hmm.
And then people were like, that's unbelievably sexist. I'm like, Joan Walsh has been saying this for years, but it's too stupid to put together the conclusion that would follow from that.
Yeah.
He is being alleged to have just gone to the conclusion that follows from that.
Yeah.
And yeah. But that was something that kept, you know, kept pissing them off.
So yeah.
Like, oh, well, you're right. Woman is, that's the whole thing. The completely correct. Woman is discriminated in society. That's why we can't nominate her.
Yeah.
No, that's not what I meant. I meant I was trying to just get you to shut up.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I don't think there ever is a conclusive, constructive
feel like
way
when
forward.
I say, now, like when I say woman instead of women, that's
mm-hmm.
a little style, stylistic flourish I do.
I thought it was because people so frequently misspell woman, women on the internet. Like it's one of the most common misspellings I see is the wrong use.
No, it's epic. It's like saying man, you know?
Mankind, womankind.
But woman.
Yeah.
You know, it's deep.
Yeah, it is. I like it.
Thank you.
Like radical feminist.
Anyways, the actual research on this shows that women do not face an electoral penalty when they run. But there's a sort of pipeline issue.
Mm-hmm.
Fewer women run, and there seems to be maybe some discriminatory elements that go into sort of throwing your hat in the ring.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But once the hats are in the ring, according to the political science, women do not face an electoral penalty.
Yeah.
So.
Did you read, speaking of how people, you know, Joan obviously got so attached to Harris so quickly. Did you read Rebecca Traister's piece entitled The Joyous Plot to Elect Kamala Harris?
No. You want to run me through it?
It's so long, dude. It's just a campaign story. It's like, here's how the...
Oh, this was before it even happened.
Yeah.
She's still running that beat, man.
Yeah, this was supposed to be the great turnaround in the 2016 decline of women narrative, right?
You'd think she would get tired of just shadowing semi-prominent female politicians and writing puff pieces about them. Is that's like most her output, no?
There's like a big description of a Zoom meeting.
You remember when she did it for Jill, what's her name?
Gillian. No, I'm never going to come up with it. Not Kristen Gillibrand.
Kirsten Gillibrand.
Yeah.
Yeah, she gave Kirsten Gillibrand the old Rebecca Traister treatment.
Yeah.
Where she ghosted her and like made her out to be some epic figure.
Yeah.
That was in 2020, right? Because we didn't have, she was trying to figure out what woman do I follow here,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah.
And maybe Warren was a little bit hard, you know, she was a little bit too left or something.
I like her work. Rebecca Traister's, you know,
it's fine.
One of the greats.
Whatever.
But
I don't mean to be mean, but it's just like she keeps stepping on that rake.
You know, I do think, you know, it's more like stepping on the same cocaine where it just gets worse and worse and worse and worse. But
anyways, the Zoom meeting.
I thought that was like just describing a prolonged description of a Zoom meeting did something to me psychologically, where you feel trapped, like you're being forced through the Zoom meeting as well, when I would just have exited this Zoom meeting immediately. So I don't know if it's supposed to be kind of claustrophobic. It's like reading about someone getting a bunch of emails or something. You're like, do I have to sit through the contents of these emails, or can you just tell me that the emails happen? Anyway, for someone on her beat, women in politics, I would recommend, like, do a big profile on Nancy Mace. Like, cover a woman in politics who you think is a fucking absolute villain. And then what is your take on women in politics?
That's a good point.
Is there some part of her femininity that is helping her here in her quest to...
Remember when everyone thought Nancy Mace was hot? Remember that moment?
Well, you know, I was once told that all non-obese women of childbearing age are hot enough.
I'm not personally giving any commentary on that. I'm just saying that was a thing people were talking about.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, she has a way about her.
There were actually a few Zoom mentions in this. The one that I'm fixating on is a male friend texted her is Mallory McMorrow, a state senator from Michigan. A male friend texted her during the white women call on which she spoke. Remember when they were doing these segregated calls for Kamala?
Yeah, yeah.
Kamala.
So sorry about the Kamala thing. I don't know why that got burned into my memory that way, but it is Kamala. I'm sorry. Kamala. I'm actually sorry.
Quote, you're telling me that 150,000 white women are voluntarily on a Zoom call for 4 hours, 2 years after COVID? Trump is fucked.
Just kill me.
These people, they live in a whole other fucking world. Where do these people live? The fuck is going on with you?
And is an editor ever like, wait a minute?
She's just quoting. Oh yeah, why not? Wait, let's tone this down a little bit.
Are you not going to intervene in this presumption this woman has?
Don't share the text from an idiot to an idiot. Like, unless we're just like lampooning it or something, don't just share that, you know?
Yeah. It's like the two brainlets talking.
Yeah, the first Zoom mention is right after he dropped out, they were going to have some kind of Zoom call that, you know, typically has 3,000 people, but then they were like, oh man, we're going to need more than that. So she had to negotiate with Zoom executives to make rooms for thousands more. Ultimately, 44,000 participants joined.
Wow. Great.
While an additional 30% got a Clubhouse link.
Mm.
And another 10,000 got on someone's conference call line. The fucking masses were just pouring into this call. I mean, how could she lose?
Grassroots groundswell of support for Harris.
Of Zoom call sickos.
People who want to get on a 4-hour Zoom call. What the fuck?
This was, I love this guy's mental model here. Because he starts with, it would be sick and disgusting. There'd have to be something fucking wrong with you to get on a 4-hour Zoom call with Kamala Harris.
It's not even.
She wasn't even there.
Wasn't even on the call.
It was just other white women.
Other white women talking like about Kamala Harris.
You'd have to be sick out of your mind. And then instead of going, wow, there are a lot of sickos out there, he goes, wow, people must be real motivated. To endure that. You see, he could have gone one of two ways.
Yeah.
He could have been like, there are a lot of sicko Dems out there just fucking brain fully cooked by Rachel Maddow. Just, you know what I mean? Just nothing going on anymore, right?
Yeah.
All they do is they have 45 subscriptions to people who are giving you like the daily updates of the Trump trials and other speculations about how he's about to go to prison and how the WTO is about to lock him up or something. There's 150,000 of those people.
Yeah.
And what a sad state of the nation. But yeah. Instead he's like, groundswell.
This is groundswell support.
Regular people. It had to be regular people.
Yeah, well, who else would it be? Couldn't just be a bunch of weirdos. Yeah, I also like that number that she generates is like minuscule compared to Joe Rogan's audience. It's like, yeah, I mean, you want to see like a groundswell of interest. It's people who tune in and listen to Rogan. It's not people who go on a 4-hour Zoom call to talk about strategy. That's just sicko shit.
There are very few who have climbed as far as she has within politics who also worked at McDonald's, a job she described in 2019 when she addressed SEIU workers picketing for a $15 minimum wage. Few presidential nominees have tended to a sick mother while working as a district attorney. As senator, Harris endorsed a domestic workers' bill of rights. None of this makes her any less of a cop. It better enables her to recognize the labor done by millions outside the prosecutor to president pipeline. Okay. I love this. I love the list of things here. No accomplishments.
Yeah, no. She's just done everything men do backwards in heels. You know, she has to do everything that men do, but also the additional, like, care work of being a woman.
One of the funny things, and this is very minutia shit here, is the Dems, you know, they had a trifecta, and they didn't raise the federal minimum wage. It's still $7.25 an hour. Bernard was trying to get $15 minimum wage.
Mm-hmm.
And the parliamentarian, I know we've gone over this before, was saying, oh, you can't do that through budget reconciliation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the parliamentarian has no power.
Mm-hmm.
The parliamentarian makes recommendations about how to interpret and apply the Congressional Budget Act,
mm-hmm.
right? So the Congressional Budget Act has rules about passing budgets.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's a question of like, okay, well, who's to say what follows the rules and what doesn't?
Yeah.
Because there's not like a judge, you know, like you can't sue.
Yeah.
So they have this parliamentarian who makes recommendations, right? So if you're trying to get something through budget reconciliation, which means you only need 51 votes and it can't be filibustered, or 50 votes plus one, because you could get the vice president, right? there are certain things that it has to look like. And Bernie, I have to say, I was part of making this case. They asked me to help beef up this argument. That's why I know about it. Okay. I mean, you know, I follow the news as well.
Mm-hmm.
But part of what you're having to do is you're having to show that your policy that you're proposing, I forget what the word is, but it, you know, it has a non-negligible impact on federal revenues or whatever.
Yeah.
Right? And so I helped compile this sets of arguments and cases where I'm saying, look, if you raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour, then we know that this chunk of the population, this lower 2 or 3% of the workforce, that their wages are going to go up, you know? And then the people right above them, their wages are going to go up. Well, when their wages go up, then that changes the tax situation.
Yeah.
Right? Because they're going to get paid more. So now the taxes are going to, their taxes are going to go up. It may also increase outlays on things like EITC. And it may also reduce outlays on things like Medicaid and food stamps. And we can try to quantify this and whatever. And the point is just to say, look, there's a plausible case that raising the minimum wage has a non-negligible impact on revenues and outlays of the federal government. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And the parliamentarian decides, oh, I'm not going to count that. But that's a recommendation she gives.
Mm-hmm.
The actual person who decides whether an objection like that is sustained and that gets stripped out of the bill is the presiding officer. I think that's what it is, what it's called, the presiding officer of the Senate, who is the vice president.
Mm.
So it's actually Harris who decided to strip out the minimum wage from budget reconciliation.
Mm.
Mm. And of course, they do all this shit to shift the blame and say, oh, it was the parliamentarian. It wasn't. That's the parliamentarian. Who the fuck is that's not in the Constitution? The parliamentarian doesn't make decisions on motions. This fucking person's not elected. There's a person, an elected person in the body that makes those decisions. That was Kamala Harris. She decided not to include the minimum wage in the budget reconciliation bill.
You hate to see it.
But she did say she worked at McDonald's when she was at an SEIU picket line for that exact minimum wage. When they were pushing for that, she did show up to it and say, I used to work at McDonald's.
Yeah.
And then became vice president and stripped it out of the budget reconciliation bill.
Damn.
But that's okay. She's got it.
Yeah.
Tracer, she's down, man. She's down.
Look, I sympathize with this so much, but when you see someone who clearly wants to write a glowing piece, I mean, I think the word joyous was actually in the head.
That's headline.
Yeah. And yet they are also afraid of the online activist base for their party. So she's like, Kamala's great. She's great. She's a cop. Like, you have to grant them that or else they're going to absolutely rake the dog shit out of you for saying she's great.
Don't
cancel me because I think she's really good, but I also think she's really bad.
I agree with everyone.
I'm in full agreement with everybody here. That's rough. I mean, I would like every piece I write to be like, listen, I think everyone's great. We're all doing a good job and we should pull together. You know, that's a very welcome piece that everyone likes to read. But yeah, she can do so much more.
You know, she's gotten caught up in the same thing Jane has.
You know, sometimes you just really want there to be a girl president.
Just do. Jeez. It
kind of doesn't even matter which girl.
Jane insists on there being a girl director of local elections.
Yeah.
A girl registrar. Like, really? Why? You know. Okay. We'll vote the girl, I guess.
Girls in all places of power. In elected government, I think that's
the county registrar. It's kind of like administrative. Okay, fuck it. All right, we'll vote the girl.
Yeah, you gotta vote for the girl. Claire doesn't care about voting. She doesn't care about politics.
She adopted what Jane wanted to do, which is interesting because I would say more so these days she just likes to do the opposite of what Jane wants to do. But
yeah,
in the voting booth, she followed Jane's lead. So I guess maybe she was like, okay, this is really important. So maybe all the contrarian stuff I'm going to put aside and listen to the wisdom of my older sister.
She made this really cute little worksheet about what she is thankful for Thanksgiving. And she said, I'm thankful for my sister, which is so cute because they do nothing but fight and scream at each other.
Yeah, that was probably a suggested.
Make each other cry.
That was probably a suggested thing from the teacher. She was like, what are some things you could put? Well, you could put, I'm thankful for my sister or my brother, or you could put, I'm thankful for my mom or my, you know. When I was at her kindergarten, her pre-K graduation, did I tell you this? Maybe I didn't, but they always do the thing where it's, you know, you say your name and then you say what you want to be when you grow up.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the first people...
I was there for that.
Okay, you saw it.
Yeah.
Okay, so one of the first people that went, I think, was this boy, and he said he wanted to be a police officer.
Yeah.
And they have, like, police officers come to this pre-K. It's kind of a weird setup, I guess, but whatever. I don't know. It's like having firefighters come.
Yeah.
Like, that's one of... I don't know. Maybe that inspired it or whatever. I guess boys like to be cops. That's a whole thing. But subsequently, every other kid then said police officer.
Oh, no.
All of them. The roles, too. No one departed from that point. And after, like, the second or third, and you could tell, like, they're anxious. And so it's just like, what if I just copy what he did? And then, of course, once two or three or four have done it, then it's really like, well, I don't want to be the one that's, like, teacher.
Yeah.
And they all said police officer, and it was hilarious. And but I think something may have gone on here with sister as well.
Potentially.
But I don't know. It's nicer to imagine that she, in a moment of sincerity, was like, actually, I like my sister, even though I fight with her all day.
Yeah.
They were getting into it today. I went to the play park where that boy broke his arm.
Mm-hmm.
Did I talk about that on here? I think we did.
Boy, oh my God!
Boy,
yeah,
snapped his arm in half.
Yeah, didn't we disagree on whether you should call 911?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
You were like,
you need to call
911.
He's gonna die. And I was like, no. It's just a broken bone.
The kid. Okay, the bone was snapped in half, and his arm was dangling. You bet your ass, I would have called 911.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the skin was not broken.
Yeah, that's kind of even
dangling.
More disgusting and terrifying.
Well,
call 911 for me.
For what?
Right,
what
to is, deal
what
with
the
anxiety.
Do?
Like, administer Ativan to me for having seen this.
It didn't faze me at all.
Yeah, I know. Apparently his parents handled it well, too.
But... I guess. I should have got my phone out and tracked it and then been like, gang, we got someone with broken arm. Anyways, they just were fucking pestering each other. And you'd bring one over and be like, hey, cut it out. Stop that. And then they just go right back to doing it.
Yeah.
And just petty shit, like, you know, whatever piece of equipment one was on, the other one then went and tried to, like, irritate them and push them off. And
yeah,
no matter what happened. And then they would retaliate, or they would get, like, really close and start, like, try to irritate without touching. And, you know, classics. Kid classics. But
can I tell you about this conversation I had with Claire
mm-hmm.
recently? I think I told you about it already. I immediately texted this to my friends. So here's how it went down. I said, did you give your invitations for the cookie decorating party to all your friends? Claire said, yeah, I gave them to everyone, even my boyfriend Jonathan. I said, ooh, well, I'm excited to meet him. I bet he's nice. Claire goes, he's not.
Mm.
I said, he's not. What does he do? She said, he slaps people. I said, oh, no, I hope he doesn't slap you. She said, he does.
Mm.
I said, Claire, he can't be your boyfriend if he hits you. And Claire goes, I want him to. I hope he slaps me at the party. Okay. I didn't know where to go with it after that. It's like, I hope the kindergarten cookie decorating party doesn't go in that direction. But sometimes you're at a party and the energy becomes malevolent.
She likes to say she hates things. Yeah, that was really throwing your mom.
She's so small. She's so full of hate.
At Thanksgiving. She came down today, actually, because your parents left today. And the first thing she did is she goes, I hate Papa.
Okay. All right. Let it all out, sister.
And your mom was like, don't use the hate word. And then she said a variety of other things she hated as well.
Okay. Yeah. She's very full of hate. They both are in many respects. But I think Thanksgiving was good overall. Was anything, you enjoy the Thanksgiving foods and such?
Yeah, it was fine. You know, I had ham and mac and cheese and stuffing and what else was there? Oh, the corn dish.
Yeah.
You call it the corn dish.
The corn dish.
Yeah. Yeah, that was good. You know, you made these, pecan pie bars.
Mm-hmm. Salted maple pecan pie bar. Pecan pie bars. They did make
those. I went with that. Some ice cream.
Yeah. That was good.
It was good. You know. Throw me off my game a little bit.
I'm sorry.
Gotta get back on track.
It's a hard time of year to be back on track.
I'm back on, though. I ran the turkey trot.
Yeah. How was that?
Oh, yeah. That's the first turkey trot I've ever done. I was the night before, I was running my usual 5 mile loop that I do, mm-hmm. and I saw signs for the turkey trot, which they'd already set up for the next day. Mm-hmm. I didn't know we had a turkey trot. The idea of a turkey trot I knew they existed, but it never crossed my mind like to do one.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's just like a thing. I'm like, oh, that's a. It's like I don't know that people do like Iron Man.
Yeah,
but I'm like, it's I don't know. It's a thing people do. I don't know it. I've never seen anyone do it. I don't know anything about it. But then I saw it and I was intrigued. I was like, oh, okay. Maybe I'll do that tomorrow. Because, you know, it's early. It was like 7:30 in the morning. It kicked off. Give me something to do. You're asleep. Your parents are, well, your mom's awake, but everyone else is asleep. It's weird. Your mom and I wake up at like 7.
Yeah, and then, she goes to bed at like midnight.
And then you and your dad and your brother all wake up much later than that. Again, I won't say when. But I was like, okay, I'll just duck out. Because part of, you know, a big part of the game when your parents are here is I don't have to do so much childcare.
Yeah.
Because most of the time I do a lot of childcare. So I'm like, oh, that's cool. And they get a kick out of it, you know? It's not like they feel too burdened. Though they did a little bit. After a while, they're kind of like, these kids suck.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah.
They do eventually come to that conclusion, yeah.
And I took them out. And we went to the Bronx Zoo, Holiday Lights. Anyways, I was running my 5 mile loop. And then I was like, oh, shit, there's this thing. Oh, this could be interesting. It's 5K, which is like 3.1 miles. It's the next day, 12 hours later. Normally, I try not to run that, you know, need some time to recover, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
But I went out and I ran it, and it was good.
All right.
It's good. I did it in 26 minutes.
You felt good afterwards?
Yeah, I feel like I could have done it faster if it were, if I hadn't run 5 miles 12 hours before. But, you know, so it's not a bad time.
Yeah.
Beat a lot of other people. Wasn't last.
Yeah. All right.
I would say I was in the top half, in fact.
Well, then it sounds like it worked out well.
Yeah. I was not going to let anybody doing a bit beat me.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
The people wearing the bananas or the turkey suits. That was, once I got there and I saw that going on, I was like, no, fuck no. No banana is going to beat me. I don't care. I could have run a marathon yesterday. I'm not going to let a banana beat me. And I didn't. They put up a decent fight. They put up a decent battle, but mile 3 comes around and they were fading the bananas.
Yeah, they couldn't.
The turkeys were never really competitive, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Not with me, in any case. But anyways, it was fun. It's the first like organized running event I've ever done. And they kind of did it on a lark. I don't really, I'm not like looking to do more, but I'll probably do the turkey trot again.
Yeah, seems good. I'm glad for you.
It was rainy, cold.
Good for your heart.
Yeah, yeah, it's good for cardio, health, whatnot. Trying not to die.
Yeah, I respect that. I'm not trying nearly as hard not to die. In fact, every night I pray that you, Jane, and Claire will bury me, because then I don't have to go through losing any of you. So I'm kind of hoping to check out before everybody else.
Okay.
So those are my reasons for not being as on top of it as you are in terms of your cardiovascular health.
Well, look, you're a lot smaller than me, and that's a big plus for longevity.
One hears small people live longer.
They do. They do.
I wish that were true of all small creatures, such that cats would live a really long time.
Yeah. Well, I wonder if it's like a ratio of heart size to everything else.
I just wish progressively smaller creatures lived longer and longer.
No, after what, two... This was funny, because I offered this the night before, because I could... Look, I can sense... Sometimes people bite off more than they could chew.
Mm-hmm.
They're like... Oh, I'll just spend all day with the kids for 5 days. And I'm like, you don't want to be doing that. I've been there, and you don't have it in you to do that. And so I'm like, look, day two comes around. And I'm like, look, why don't you just, I'll take about 4 o'clock, give them to me. We'll go to Bronx Zoo, Holiday Lights. I'll bring them back right when bedtime is. And then you'll have a whole evening. Him and Han, oh, we don't get to see him that much. But then that time rolled around and they were like, yeah, please.
Mm.
So I took him to Bronx Zoo, did the Holiday Light stuff, which I like. I like hitting the, you know, I like hitting the Holiday Light stuff with the kids, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of little light shows and stuff. Normally can't do it because you want to be back. You want to make sure, you know, like they're after school, you have to work, whatever, but. Friday after Thanksgiving, might as well.
Yeah.
Hit it up. The Astralumina thing last year at the Queens Botanical Garden was pretty cool.
Wasn't that the event where Jane just like pushed Claire to the ground?
That was the Bronx Zoo Holiday Lights the prior year. When we were waiting for the little tiny train, she picked her up and slammed her on the ground. And then we had to leave. And so that was one of the big selling points this time was we will actually get to ride the train this time.
Yeah.
If you can keep it together.
Yeah.
You dumbass. And she did. Now it helped that we went straight to the train this time. So the line was not as bad as it was last time. But the train was kind of overrated, honestly. But
really?
I don't know. You just go in a circle. But whatever. They got a kick out of it. It was like, I think it's just because it's a tiny train. That's kind of fun, you know?
Yeah.
Just the scale of it is exciting to them. Did you know that in New York City, on Sundays around the Christmas period, which I think is starting now, I think it happened today, they run some of the old-timey subway trains. So you can go, I guess they still have some of these in the garage or whatever. So they run these trains from 1930.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and they look real, you know, old and stuff.
It would be cool if they ran the ones from the 1970s and 80s that were like pre-Giuliani and all fucked up looking.
Yeah. Yeah, those were pretty legit.
Yeah, those are very nostalgic.
If you could bring back the trains that were just graffitied wall to wall, like on the outside, maybe not the inside.
Yeah.
I think people would get a kick out of that.
Yeah, people would love it.
The one that goes, the Times Square shuttle, the one that goes from Grand Central to Times Square, that's the only thing it does, is go back and forth. Those are like very elaborately decorated on the inside in like really crazy ways. So the kids always love that.
Yeah.
Whenever we hit that one, they find that to be exciting. So,
it's Hallmark Christmas movie season again.
I know.
Which is fun. Been enjoying some of those.
Yeah, we watched one where a snowman
Hot Frosty.
Hot Frosty.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was what's actually funny because they have the guy from Hot Tub Time Machine.
Yeah.
What's his name? You know?
I don't. It definitely had Gretchen Wieners.
Craig Philip Robinson.
Okay, yeah.
He's a funny dude.
Yeah.
He's just a funny dude.
Yeah, he's funny.
I guess he was on The Office.
Yeah.
I mostly know him. I actually haven't seen Hot Tub Time Machine. I just know that's, you know, I know him from the Helpful Bus.
Yeah, bit. One of the best bits of all time.
Which is a take on a pornography.
It's a bang bus if it weren't, you know, exploitive.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, because I guess the PG porn helpful bus. Yeah, the premise is what if you were picking people up, but instead of banging them, you just, you know, helped them out and did help whatever they were looking to do.
Yeah, we're just helpful.
Sorry, I was looking for it. Yeah, I don't know. What did you think of Thanksgiving?
You know, it was fine. I had an argument with my dad over the Virgin Mary.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Whether she was virgin or not?
No.
Oh.
I mean, yeah, to some degree, whether she was a perpetual virgin. My dad is Protestant and believes that Mary was a sinner. And
she had sex subsequently?
Yeah, and had a bunch of other biological children with Joseph.
Is that in the Bible?
No.
Why even theorize it? Why do we need to fill in the fanfic of what she was doing, you know, in her 30s?
Well, you know, there are people in the Bible who are identified as relatives of Jesus. But the terms, you know, brother, sibling terms are used widely, not just in those particular mm-hmm. relationships.
In certain communities.
Okay. All right. Be careful.
What?
Yeah, so I find that kind of theorizing on her to be kind of annoying. I don't know what someone gets out of presuming that the mother of Christ was sinful in any way.
But that's not sinful, is it?
I mean, my dad was specifically specifying that she was a sinner, that she is not sinless.
In some other way?
Yeah. Just not that the sin consisted in her having children with her husband, but that she sinned in unspecified
like
other ways.
Maybe she used the Lord's name in vain.
You know, I think he just means to say, just like any of us sin, she sinned similarly, but he's wrong about that.
Now, if you're raising a child, it'd be tough never to use their name in vain, you know?
I don't think that just saying God is the idea of
what
not
if
taking
she was
the
just
Lord's
like,
name in
Jesus.
I know. I don't. I think trying
pick
to
pick your shit up.
Like in
pick your fucking shit up. Would that count?
She would never say that. She would never say such a thing.
But would it count?
No, that's not what taking the Lord's name in vain means. We're talking about like invoking God and curses and shit.
Well, did I not? Jesus,
not
pick your
not,
fucking shit up.
Like curses, like the God, I invoke the Lord to destroy you.
Cousin.
Right?
Oh, interesting.
Not swearing.
Not cussing. Well, how is that? Well, so what's the problem with goddamn?
May God damn you. Is this not a curse?
That's not how I'm using it, though.
I mean, I think that people rightly have a general aversion to using the Lord's name to, you know, for sort of vulgar reasons.
What if you just mention?
You're allowed to mention the Lord, yeah.
What if you mention a usage of God's name in vain, but you don't use it?
I think that's fine.
If you quote it.
I think that's fine.
It's risky, though.
No, it's not like...
They might call you out.
It's not like it does something to God when you take the Lord's name in vain. It doesn't. It does something to you, which is not good. It brings you closer to being a blasphemer.
Well, sure, but you know.
So
linguistically, people seem to inconsistent views on that.
Perhaps. Otherwise, Thanksgiving was perfectly fine. Didn't really have any problems at all. Had to go to a restaurant with the kids, which isn't fun.
Yeah. Well, your parents just love restaurants. I guess we've discussed this before, but it's just something I don't really... It's not really in my culture.
Yeah.
The restaurant game. But that is very... And also, weirdly, I think we've said this before as well, they don't have that... Is it a bougie thing? Is it a cosmopolitan thing? I don't know. Where you're supposed to kind of like be like, what's the thing in this area? Like, I had a friend visit a year ago? I don't know. 6 months ago? Who fucking knows time? And they were trying to figure out, like, okay, so, like, where do you go? Like, it's like Connecticut lobster roll. Like, that's a thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, yeah, I think so. And I was trying to figure out where to do that, you know?
Yeah.
Your parents are like, what if we came up here and just went to a fucking steakhouse?
Yeah.
Okay. You could do that. Now, the bit here is that they sell these burnt pizzas. Maybe just get one of the burnt pizzas.
Mm-hmm.
We got one right around by our house as well.
Yeah, you can get a burnt pizza right around here. Pretty easy.
Yeah, charred a pizza. I joke. I mean, you know, but when people come and they were, you know, normal people, I'd be like, well, we got to go get some fucking charred a pizza. Because, you know, that's the shit here. New Haven style and all that. But your parents just full on, nope. We're just going to go to an Italian place. Get some fucking lasagna or something. Okay. Well, why not just go to McDonald's, man? That shit's good, too. Get a Blizzard.
Yeah. It's not my preferred way of spending time, but, you know, at least it was not, people were not deliberately trying to aggravate or hurt one another.
Yeah, no, it's fine. I don't have, like, a big grievance about it. I just think it's kind of funny to be someone who's really into restaurants.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a bit of a foodie my damn self. And then you're like, let's go to the Capitol Grilly.
Yeah.
And I'll get a porterhouse.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Do that anywhere, really. But do it here, I guess, if you want.
Yeah. Now we have to do Christmas. Whole nother thing with turkey and stuffing and the fridge being unusable and all that shit.
I guess this is part of the game, but why do we produce so much food? I mean, you look at it, you start writing it out, and you're like, how is this supposed to be all consumed? I don't.
Well, I was looking forward to having some leftover sandwiches, but you threw them all out.
Well, it's 4 days past Thanksgiving.
Leftovers are fine, like up to a week.
Okay.
As long as they don't look visibly fucked up or smell fucked up, I think you're basically okay with leftovers.
Well, let's put that aside, because even if you had one or two sandwiches, that would not have covered 10% of what was in the fridge.
That's true.
So it's like...
My mom took home a bunch of leftovers.
And they took home... So we produce like 10,000 calories a person. Doing the math on this, you're like, how are we supposed to do this? You know?
Yeah.
It probably was more than that. Yeah. Honestly. That's like a... But it's whatever. I just don't know. I don't know what the game... Are you supposed to... Do people typically try to eat everything they produce on Thanksgiving? Or as part of that, it's part of the show, you just make a bunch of shit and throw it away?
I think that Thanksgiving leftovers are common enough that there's kind of a little food culture around what to do with Thanksgiving leftovers.
But this was more than could have been consumed with leftovers,
right? All right, fuck them. I don't know. You're right. Jesus. Whatever.
Okay, I'm not trying.
God almighty.
I'm trying to understand.
It's a feast.
Okay.
People make a lot of food. I don't know what to tell you.
I'm just trying to figure out how do people decide how much food to make.
I don't know. You know, some recipes are hard to scale down. You could probably make a cup, like 4 ounces of mac and cheese, I guess. But it's certainly easier to make, I believe, and in larger batches.
I feel you. I'm not even mad. I'm just curious.
Yeah.
You know, could also just throw in some fucking DiGiorno's. You know?
Yeah.
I definitely had some Thanksgivings like that in my day.
Yeah, that's probably what'll happen after my mom dies, is Thanksgiving will become officially demoted and will never be celebrated again.
Well, we could do like Motor City Co. frozen pizzas. You know, the high level shit.
Yeah. Great. I look forward to that.
No, I don't think it will be. I think you're quite a cook, you know?
Yeah, but it's a whip ass.
Just too much. I could do some stuff.
Yeah. Could you make a single turkey leg for the whole house to share?
Why not just get some? Look, I eat a lot of ground turkey.
Yeah, you could just grind up some turkey.
Well, just get it already ground, you know? Yeah. Make some turkey tacos.
Nice.
Yeah, that's what I had today. For dinner.
Thanksgiving dinner takes 15 minutes. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Great.
Good times.
My parents are in really ill health. Sucks.
All three of your brother and your mom and dad are all on Wegovy.
Yes.
Is that right? So it's interesting.
Yeah, and it's helped them.
Yeah, it seems to be really, you know, you can't argue with the results.
But, you know, there are other ways to be in poor health, and they don't have great health indicators, I think. It's tough to see your family age.
Oh, for sure. No, when I see my dad, I'm always real disturbed by it.
Yeah, it's tough. Anyway, we'll give you another episode this week because we didn't give you one on time.
I'm going to add up the total hours of all the episodes this year so far. And then I'm going to record up to get us to 52 hours.
Okay.
I don't care what it takes.
All right. We'll do that for
you. I might
folks.
Have to do 3 episodes a day. You know? There was a guy. Do you know this guy, Kai Sinat? Sinat?
No.
He's a streamer. He's like one of the most successful streamers.
Okay.
He did a 1 month long stream.
Mm-hmm.
Was it a month? Yeah, I think it was a full month. He's the fifth most followed Twitch streamer. He did a 1 month long stream. Just like no breaks. In this big mansion that he rented out and had like a whole production team and just wild, like when he was sleeping and all these guests that were there and there were like bands and carnivals and it's just like real wild. Anyways, I feel like it's a new frontier in entertainment.
Yeah.
But
interesting. We will bring you what we owe you. It is my birthday this weekend. So maybe we'll have a celebratory birthday Q&A up.
I got you a gift already.
Really?
I'm claiming retroactively to have gotten you a gift.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It's really cool.
The portable external monitor.
Yeah, it made my screen bigger. Now it's much easier to watch SVU while I type.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, I'm never going back.
No, ever since it's nice to see because then you get to see every day you I look over and there you are and you have it plugged in and you got it going.
Yeah, you know? I love it. I think it's great.
So
I was immediately jealous of yours when I saw it.
It's pretty nifty.
It is
so
nifty.
Thin and light and
super light.
Yeah, you would think I was like that external monitor. I always think like these big desktop setups.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, I don't really want that. I use my laptop all over the house. But here, no, it's like basically like a little tablet kind of looking thing. Plug it in. Runs off the USB-C, so you don't even have to power it externally. It's great.
It is really nice. It's really nice.
All right. Well,
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Hope you had a good Black Friday and have a good Cyber Monday.
Yeah, get all your cybering in.
Get all your cybering. Remember when cybering was a thing? We cybered last night.
Did anyone ever cyber? Just call this sexting? Is that what sexting is?
Yeah, it's like sexting over MSN Messenger or like AIM.
Yeah, I guess we've sexting is also a silly word.
Yeah.
But I guess, yeah, I guess that's what we just, that's what it was. But
yeah,
it's so like hackers.
Yeah, yeah. It's very much in that. Yeah.
Now we fuck over the internet. It's like, well, I mean, you just send messages back and forth. I don't know. It needs like, you know.
People used to talk about the internet like a highway.
Yeah, like, yeah. That. It's like a
information superhighway.
It's like a virtual reality set, you know. Yeah. Like, and it's like, yeah. I don't know, I guess.
Like, I'm quite literally surfing right now. Yeah. I don't know about that.
Okay.
All right.
Adios.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.